This is Theatre Voice. I'm Dominic Cavendish, and with me are Gemma Bodinet, the Artistic Director of the Liverpool Everyman and Playhouse Theatres, and Deborah Aden, the Executive Director for both those theatres. The reason I'm talking to you, I think, is because the Liverpool Playhouse and Everyman have been slightly off the theatrical map for a while, and many people would be interested, I think, to know a little bit about the recent history, for one thing. What's been happening to these theatres? They've been restored, is that right?
Just over 2 years ago, the Playhouse, the Everyman, they were in desperate trouble, and a sort of rescue plan came about, which meant that they were to be run as one organisation, which Jo Beddo set up. And she did some wonderful work in finding the staff, incorporating the Everyman and Playhouse staff as one body. But at that point, I mean, for the last 18 months, really, these theatres have been largely receiving houses of quality work from around the country, with the occasional in-house production. What we are trying to do in order to put them back on the theatrical map is to do more in-house work, more of our own productions.
Deborah Aden, you joined in last September 2003 with Gemma. Did you come as a partnership, or were you separately appointed? How did that work?
We came as a team. We actually applied for the jobs together. It's extraordinarily rare. I don't know whether it's ever happened before that the two jobs are recruited at the same time. And it presented a wonderful opportunity to come in and immediately make a change, take the theatres into a new era, incorporate what was already happening, the growth that had been going on in the last few years, into our own vision for the theatres, which I hasten to add is very much in response to the history of these theatres and the potential of these theatres. It's not something that we're imposing from outside. We've been very careful to sort of soak up by osmosis what the audiences feel about the theatres, how they've been successful in the past, what each one does best, what the different personalities of each theatre is, and to respond to that in deciding where we want to let them travel in the future.
You talk about the history of the theatres. One of the interesting things about your first production in your inaugural season is that Corin Redgrave is starring here as Archie Rice in The Entertainer, and his parents met here and fell in love in 1935. And that suggests that the theatre really was at one point a really major player on the regional scene. And if you just talk a little bit about the 20th century, when did the slide begin?
It's quite interesting when you do chart the history of the Playhouse, because actually it has always been sort of up and down, I suppose, like most theatres. You find periods, these great golden ages, and then it goes into recession, then there's some problem, and they hit bankruptcy, and then somebody else comes into the rescue. I mean, what it was famous for, and I think what many people in Liverpool remember it for, is being the longest rep company. It had a repertory company that Michael Redgrave would have been part of from 1911 up until the middle 80s, and that was incredibly rare. And through that rep system, some of the great actors and directors of our time, and people speak so fondly of the Rex Harrisons, David Jasons, I mean, a whole kind of generations of great actors producing very great work in the Playhouse. While at the Everyman, our other child, as it were, there is a great history of sort of 1970s, 1980s, Willie Russell, a lot of counterculture theatre, Ken Campbell, very experimental, brave political work going on. So we're sort of embracing two wonderful histories, very different, although there is actually rather unusually an audience that's in love with both, although they each retain very protective audience that love each individually. I think Corin for us was a dream come true, because he does hark back to those glory days of the rep company, but also, you know, that's not singularly why we wanted him here. I mean, we believe that he's one of our great actors today. I mean, and that's the principal reason, because when you're producing a show like The Entertainer, it has to be said that a lot rests on your Archie Rice. You know, that's where you begin, and he, for me, it is a phenomenal performance. So, and I think that's our watchword, that we have got one eye over our shoulder about what these theatres were, but only in terms of what they can be, and we are always looking forward, so that, for example, the Everyman, that celebrates its 40th birthday this coming September, there will be a massive celebration around that will embrace some of the people, the Bill Nyes, the Kenneth Branaghs, the Jonathan Prices, Julie Walters and so on, who cut their teeth in theatre there, but also new young writers pushing forward, looking into the future about how we can create that again in the future.
So in a sense, the infrastructure was there when you took over. The buildings had been refurbished, or at least the Playhouse had been substantially refurbished. And effectively, it was your mission to impose some kind of artistic identity again on the producing side of things here. Can you sort of talk us through your, I suppose, not just your season, but in a sense your vision?
As I said earlier, it was responding to the different characters of each theatre, and where what the Everman does extremely well is new work. You know, it's a very, very dynamic, intimate space, and it's got a great history of launching writers. So the living writer will be the sort of cornerstone of the programming up at the Everyman, new writing and adaptation. So in our first season, we've got Adrian Mitchell's adaptation of Calderon's masterpiece, The Mayor of Salamea. Then we have the UK premiere of a wonderful play from New York, Yellow Man by Dale Landesmith. And then the last in-house show in the Everyman of the new season is a new play, first play by a Liverpool-based writer, which is wonderful for us to be able to, in our first season, to have a new play by a Liverpool-based writer. And then at the Playhouse, it's creative and brave adaptations and interpretations of the great plays. So, you know, Osborne's The Entertainer is possibly his greatest play, certainly a 20th century classic. After that, we've got two Noel Coward one-act plays in a double bill. And you say you're producing Coward in a regional theatre, and it sounds terribly predictable, but actually these are two plays that haven't been performed for... One certainly for more than a decade, and another for possibly not been performed for more than 30 years. So it's a slightly different approach to the Coward oeuvre. And then the final show in the Playhouse is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is August Wilson's sort of breakthrough play, if you like, possibly his greatest play, and another 20th century classic.
So the focus is actually initially anyway on the 20th century, on rediscovering, reclaiming works that might not have even been seen here before. Is that the case? That's the case.
That's very much. I mean, that actually is coincidental. I mean, I'm looking forward to us doing our first Shakespeare on the Playhouse stage and our first restoration. I mean, very much the watchword for me has been entertainment. I mean, there it is, the first title of our first, but also thought-provoking. And I think that's something that we feel when we walk around the streets of Liverpool, that the people of Liverpool, they want both those things in an evening. You know, they do want, you know, what I would call strong entertaining. They're not something that's kind of an endurance test, although who does want that? But also they do like thought-provoking theatre. It's a very vocal city, a city, you know, that with a history, a politicised history, and an intellectual history. And so, for example, for me, Ma Rainey is a perfect encapsulation of that sort of evening, in as much as it has jazz songs and humour, and it's, you know, a beautiful setting in 1920s Chicago and real live jazz music play, but also addressing some very kind of potent themes. And I think that's always what I want to be doing in the Playhouse, is entertainment but with an edge, something that just takes, you know, an average evening of the theatre a step forward. And yes, something of the rarely performed, but also the things I feel very strongly that a subsidised theatre should provide a community. If I live here, if I'm a young person growing up in Liverpool, I shouldn't have to go anywhere else. And that's what we should provide. So we do, I think, have an obligation to do a Shakespeare. We do have an obligation to do the classics in a brave way. But I think you should be able to get your full menu of the theatrical canon at your local subsidised theatre and across the two theatres. That's really my brief. So there, actually, the 20th century focus is kind of accidental for this season. And there's a lot to do. I mean, always there's pragmatic things. I mean, this is Deborah's quarter, but a lot of those big plays require huge casts, you know, and we're coming in. I mean, I've got a huge cast in The Mayor of Salamea, and that sort of balanced, you know, potentially the number of casts we could have in Playhouse shows. But I think as our confidence grows, and as the Arts Council and the City Council's confidence grows in us, we're hoping that we will be able to do some of those really big ensemble pieces at the Playhouse. It has to be said that also in our visiting productions, you know, we've got Mother Courage, we've got some of those big ensemble classics coming.
How do you cater for the fact that the audiences are going to have to kind of wake up rather fast to this? I mean, do you have a lot of leeway in terms of the time you're being given to make these changes, to shift the policy? I mean, or does it have to happen really rather rapidly in order for you to be able to carry on doing the kind of work you want to do?
Obviously we'd like it to happen rather rapidly, and Gemma and I both have a tendency to run a marathon at the pace of a sprint, mm-hmm. But of course it'll take time this season is sort of a voyage of discovery for us, to see how it plays with the audiences, to see what the response is. But The fact is that the memory of the Playhouse in its rep heyday and in the sort of 80s when it had another flowering and of the Everyman's great days is still very much alive, and the people of Liverpool very much want these theatres to be firing on all cylinders, to be absolutely on the map. They want them to be the best in the country. I mean, not much pressure on us, really. But, you know, we haven't really talked about the visiting companies, because for us the news is that these theatres are producing much more, and we're taking these buildings and this team up to a level that they haven't been working on before, and they've risen to the challenge absolutely magnificently. But of course there are also lots of wonderful companies touring into us, and lots of relationships that we want to be very long-term strategic relationships. And you know, some of those that you've got, Abigail's Party, which, you know, has an audience wherever it travels. It's just a wonderful crowd-pleasing play that everybody is extremely fond of. We've got Northern Broadsides coming to us, who have a huge following in Liverpool. We've got Kathy Burke directing the Queer Fellow for Oxford Stage Company that are coming here. That's a relationship that we want to be long-term. We've got Payne's Plough. And we've got the Donmar touring here. It was their first tour ever. So we're very happy to be initiating that relationship, and we hope that that'll be a two-way relationship in the future.
Could you just fill listeners in on the experience that you're bringing to these jobs?
Well, I've worked quite a bit in regional theatre, West Yorkshire Playhouse, Bristol Vic and Plymouth, and as well as the national theatres, the RSC and the Royal Court, and the National Theatre itself, and the Bush, where Deborah and I met. And I have a great experience in new writing. I think some of the most inspiring moments I have actually have been in regional theatre, because I'm at Plymouth, for example. They gave me their 1,500-seater theatre to do a new play about a meat processing factory, about BSE. And it was such an investment in... I mean, they gave us a huge budget. They must have known, actually, that it wasn't a kind of bums-on-seat production. But I was so liberated as an artist in a way that actually rarely happens in London. There was just a sort of generosity of spirit from that building which says, we believe in you, we believe in this project, that I really want people that come into this building, you know, the John Tiffany's that are working with us now and the future directors that are working with us to have, because I think some of the boldest work should be happening in the regions where the pressure is slightly off, where it isn't a kind of West End kind of pressure for 90% seats. I mean, we want 90% seats, but I also want to liberate the artists, and I also want us to be able to respond to the artists that work with us, you know. And I've been so proud of our production team, who, when people have come with extraordinary designs, like The Entertainer, for example, which looks like nothing but actually is a huge build, and to hear our team wanting to make it work with the limited resources we have. And I think that's what the regions can give. Just to go back to that last question you asked, Deborah, about how much time we've got, we don't know, but it is incredibly important for us, above and beyond whether the board or the council or the Arts Council think we're doing good work. I just think every play feels better in a full house. You know, it's just a better experience. You know, a great night in the theatre is even greater if it's surrounded. And, you know, one wants... We're here for the people of Liverpool, ultimately, not as career moves. So it is important to us. And we are just going to be watching, as Deborah said, so carefully how this first season lands. We've not tried. I mean, it may look bold and brave, bizarrely... That wasn't where I came in. I didn't come in here going, I'm going to do a bold and brave season and show those regions what it can all be about. I went in picking plays that I loved with directors I wanted to work with. And it's kind of, again, incidental that people are perceiving it as brave. The Mayor of Zalamea, for example, I just think is a fantastic ride. You know, you get on that play and you don't get off until you're outside the theatre. And that's my premise. Just good plays, well done. So... If people are perceiving it as brave, I'll have to think again, because I'm actually going in there thinking of good entertainment.
Deborah, would you want to just explain where you're coming from in terms of your own sort of theatre background?
I was at the Bush for 8 years, which was 91 to 99, which was something of a golden age for new writing, and worked with a huge range of wonderful writers, directors, actors, and was part of something that we felt at the time was very special. We also had a lot of relationships outside of that tiny room in Shepherd's Bush, and we transferred a few plays into the West End, Killer Joe, Jonathan Harvey's Beautiful Thing, and we did a national tour, we took some work to America, so it was something of a heyday for the Bush, I like to think. Not that it's not in a heyday now.
And is there any sense of I don't know, of estrangement when you leave London and it's a at least three hour train journey away? Is that an adventure for you?
It is. I mean, it was funny. We had lunch yesterday with Paul Cruz, who works at West Yorkshire Playhouse, and we were talking about that. And the fact is, we never leave these buildings. And theatre people, gosh, I sound like an old lovey, but they are kind of the same wherever you go. And this is our family, and everything we've seen of Liverpool and everyone we've met in Liverpool, and we must make special mention of Ken Dodd, who made us so particularly welcome, has been fantastic. I mean, I was worried anyway. I went to speak for Deborah on this one occasion, that, you know, us kind of southerners might be sort of resented. You know, who are they coming up there thinking they know how to run our great theatres? And nothing could be further from the truth. People have just bent over backwards to make us feel welcome, and it's just such a fun city to be in, and a city that, with the capital of culture, just feels like it's reinventing itself and getting back some of a rather bruised dignity that the rest of the country has given Liverpool, I have to say.
What the Capital of Culture announcement has done is it's sort of opened up the door to the future. So the city isn't looking back to happier times. It's not still feeling the pain and the bruises of the sort of the horrible times of the 80s of riots and civic corruption and terrible unemployment and the footballing disasters. It genuinely does feel like the city's looking to the future, and that's a wonderful gift for us to ride that wave.
And you're also aware, I mean, I always feel like I'm in the most beautiful house that just needs a bit of renovation. When you keep your eyes up in Liverpool, the architecture is, you know, better than anywhere in England. I mean, it is a very fabulous city. It is on the way up. We are aware of our merry mixed audience base, and we hope that our ticket prices will encourage them to come in, but I wouldn't blame them for not putting theatre as their priority if they really are in trouble.
You have to go to a rehearsal of the Mayor of Zaramea, and you've no doubt, Deborah, have work to do. Okay, so I say thank you both very much.